Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be great." Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me, since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir." And he took him outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Then he believed the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess it." He said, "O Lord God, how may I know that I will possess it?" So he said to him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer and a 3-year-old female goat and a 3-year-old ram and a turtle dove and a young pigeon." Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two and laid each half opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds. The birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, and Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. God said to Abram, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You will be buried at a good old age. Then, in the fourth generation, they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete." It came about when the sun had set that it was very dark, and behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a flaming torch, which passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenite, and the Kenizzite, and the Kadamite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Rephaim, and the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Girgashite, and the Jebusite."
It's a mysterious chapter, isn't it? It's kind of like a weird one when we look at it. All right. We're going to learn something today, I hope. I said today I don't want to really offend anybody, but there's a new word that just showed up. Remember Genesis is called the what? Bereshit. The beginning. So when a new word shows up, and it shows up here in the 15th chapter, sometimes we have a definition of it because, well, that's what we think we see. And it has to do with the very first verse. What does it say?
Abram in a vision.
I'm sorry, what?
Came to him in a vision.
And thy exceeding great reward.
All right. The one word that showed up, Dave said it.
Vision.
Now, you probably have heard, or maybe you yourself personally believe, you have seen a vision. Be careful, because we're going to find out what this word means. When someone comes up and says, "I had a vision from God, and vision is this," and they give you all the scenario, do not believe it. Yes, I just raised my voice. I'll tell you why. Because the Hebrew word is very clear.
Right.
We'll find out in detail today. Mm-hmm. I hope the best that I could get through verse 1 today. Because it's a very, very powerful verse. And there's something here that Devarim Yahweh, or Devarim Yahu, wants us and to see the word. What does it say again? Read it carefully. After these things, what took place? The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Saying, now what do you think vision is?
A dream.
Seeing.
Something what?
Seeing.
Seeing. Go ahead.
You see it with your eyes.
Okay.
It's a dream, isn't it?
I'm sorry, what?
A dream.
Not in Hebrew.
An ecstatic state.
Sorry, what?
An ecstatic state.
Oh, well, all right. We're going to break down this first verse. It's very important to break down this first verse. I have said last week, or 2 weeks ago, I don't remember, that this is approximately, Abraham was approximately, and my thinking is right on, at age 85. Same time the next chapter talks about it. I'll tell you why. In Hebrew, it says, in a sense, after ha-davarim, ha-ezet, it-yah, dabar, yahu, unto Abram. Now, what does that mean? The word things they have there, that isn't what it says in Hebrew. You know what it says in Hebrew? After the words. Then Dabar, the word of the Lord, came. Now, what is it talking about? Did you ever know why it's there? Why does it say that? What happened in the previous chapter? What happened in the previous chapter? What were the Devarim in the fourth chapter? What was the last thing that was said? Yes.
Oh, I was thinking of Melchizedek blessing Abraham.
But no, this is Abraham's last words. What did he say?
I won't take anything.
Let them take their portion.
I have raised my hands to... All right. So now, after he has done this, then comes Dabar, how you want to pronounce that? Yahu. How did he come? In what method, in what manner, in what form? Now, the word vision, we think, means a dream. Or, oh, I saw this, you know, undescribable thing. In reality, the word vision does come from the word, in a sense, to see. Now, why does he come, and very fascinating terminology here, why does he come, quote, in a vision? Why does the Dabar come in a vision? Because, see, we had this English word. He came to show for Abraham to see something. Plain as day. He wasn't in a trance. No spirit moved all over him. What happened is, Hebrew's very clear. It says, the Dabar of Elohim came within from the vision. Came from within the vision. Oh, what happened in the 15th chapter? What did Abraham see? Was he in a dream, or did he participate in something? He participated in what? The cutting up of the animals. God wanted him to see something. So the vision is not something that's an imaginary thing in a person's head. It's something that the Creator of heaven is going to show him. The word vision, we'll get into more detail later on. But you must understand that what's taking place here, and the concept is that he fell asleep, or he didn't know what was going on. You know, he was a fool. No. After he finished his speaking to the king of Sodom, then God began to speak with him in a vision. I'm going to show you something. He did. Yes.
I think for many of us, every time we see a reference to a vision, we have the image of what is told to us about Daniel, about how he actually did basically pass
on. Go on.
So that's how we see every vision.
Right, but that's not exactly. In Hebrew, it doesn't even fit there in the book of Daniel. It doesn't even fit in the book of Daniel. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is because I want to be very careful, because, though I'm not, when you hear someone say to you, I had a dream, I had a vision from Yahweh. Now, the Word of God is very powerful. He says when anybody says it's from me, they are a liar. Because I did not speak to them. Now listen, I did not speak to them. Every vision that's recorded within the Bible is the word is heard and they saw what he was saying. All the prophets had a vision, the vision of the Lord, and the word was that he heard the word and then he saw. So God says something, and then he shows. What did God say to Abraham? Right here, first verse. Do not, what?
Be afraid.
Do not be afraid. Why?
I am your shield.
I am your shield and your reward. So now he's going to show Abraham something. And if you read this chapter very careful, there was terror that overtook Abraham.
Yeah.
Now, does that make sense to you? Why God said it at this particular beginning of this book? I'm going to show you something. You're going to see now, Abraham, why I'm doing what I'm doing. You'll understand. You'll have visions. Not that they're in you, dangling in your head like little plums. You're going to see with your own naked eye. And you're going to participate within this revelation. And we'll get to there later. You see, Proverbs says, unless the people, what? Unless there is no vision. That's not talking, oh, I got a dream. They have no word from the Lord. They will perish. Because they have to hear the word of the Lord in order to understand what he's showing them. And this is what the whole thing about Genesis, this Genesis 15 chapter is about. It's the very first time vision is showed up in the Bible. And so now we see this picture, and we have this thing because of what people have interpreted the word vision to be, because it's the English word. It has nothing to do with the English word. It has to do with the Hebrew word. Now let's go to Numbers. Numbers 24. I want you to go through this one, because it's very important. I feel very, very strong that we must know the Devarim of Yahuwah. All right? If you believe that what is written in the Torah is the word, the Devar of Yahuwah, then we must hear it. Every time the word vision is used in our Torah Tanakh, it always shows a picture of what it really is. Now I want to point one thing to you. What was the snake wearing in the garden?
Cunningness.
Skin. He was wearing naked. He was naked. What does that mean? You could see plain as day. The guy is naked. All right. What does that mean? The nakedness means, you can spot the devil quickly. He's got no clothes on. What does he look like? He looks like a snake that has no covering. And so sometimes you wonder about this under sneaky maneuverability of the devil. He could do all things. No, he can't. The eternal creator of heaven told us what he is. What is he? He's a downright liar. All right. Can you spot a lie? Yeah. Okay. Now the devil is what? A liar, right? He is all, everything that comes out of that individual's mouth is not a one iota of truth. It is all lies. We can spot it. So don't be afraid that the devil is going to overcome you. If the creator of heaven and earth has revealed, given you, if I could use it, by using his word, given you a vision to see the nakedness of the devil, take a look. He has absolutely no power over you. It's zilch. There's nothing there. He can do nothing about it. Okay. Now let's go back here. Numbers 34, brother. Verse 3. He took up this parable, saying, Balaam, the son of Peor, hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of Devarim, Elohim, which saw from the vision of Almighty God. So God showed him something. How did he do that? With his words. Now, you remember the time in the book of John? The woman at the caught in adultery? Do you remember that happened there? I told you before. We want to know, what did he write down on the ground? That's not what the Apostle Paul John said. What did he say? They heard what Jesus said, and they departed. They didn't see what was written on the ground. Didn't matter to them. It's the hearing of Devarim will definitely convict you. That's why it was so easy to convict them. He opened up his mouth, and they heard, and they saw, and they left. All right? Let's continue on. Numbers, the 15th verse. Now, we're talking about who?
Balaam.
Balaam, right? So God can reveal, give visions to, if I can use that excuse, but how does he do it? Listen, he said the very same words. And he took up this parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, has said, and the man whose eyes are open, very interesting word. Why is he eyes? It means he sees now. How did he see? He has said, which heard the words of Devarim Elohim, the words of God. When he heard them, now, do you think when you hear words of God, do you see anything? Oh, yeah, you must. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, you must be able to have vision to see. Not imagine. He's revealing something that's so obvious, so plain, and so clear. All right, let's go on. Just forget about that part right now. We won't go to the part. In Proverbs, First Samuel chapter 3. Daniel went over this point, very funny. You've been there. He enjoys the book of Samuel because he finds a lot of humor in it. And he shares it well with us. First Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto Yahweh or Yahuwah before Eli. And the word of, or the devourer of Elohim, or devourer of Yahuwah, was precious in those days. Why? There was what? Open. No devourim. From Elohim. You have to see. Why do you use the word open for? You have to see. If the Devarim comes of Yahuwah, guess what? You get to see. Now, when you walk through your world and you sit and you study your Word of God, you sit there and you study it and you see it, you are being revealed something to you. Accept it. Sometimes, and I don't want to go through every negative statement where God says, if you have said, you have a vision from me, I didn't speak to you. Everything of a vision is when God opens up his mouth and says something to give you a vision of what he just got through saying. It's not an imaginary figure of, oh, I don't know, maybe he's half asleep. Maybe he was sound asleep. Well, maybe he's kind of like in a trance. You know, and throughout the prophets talk about this, two different words, a vision and the other part. Deviation, to deviate. The one who has imagination of the hearing demons. They're not hearing the word of God. Now, those visions are not Elohim. They can't see. They're not a demon in the face of this entire earth that has any clarity of truth. They have zero, zip, nada, nothing. A lot of people say, I saw a spirit being. Uh-oh. Be careful. Mm-hmm. That spirit being begins to talk with you, and it sounds like it's the word of Elohim. Uh-oh. Because when Elohim speaks to you, you're going to see it very clear. Mm-hmm. It includes the book of Daniel. When he said, I saw a vision when? Because it was spoken unto me and I heard it, and therefore I can tell you what it said. He couldn't understand unless it was revealed to him when Yahuwah talked with him. All right? Proverbs 39, 29. Proverbs 29, verse 18. There is no vision. There is lo davarim Elohim. The people perish. But he does what? What? How do you do that if you don't read and hear it? It's impossible. You can't dream your world into responding to the law when you have not heard it. And when you hear the law, then what takes place? You begin to see and you begin to have vision because Devarim Elohim, the words of Elohim came and let you see. You can't find it any other way. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The reason why I'm so uptight, because I've heard this so many years, and I cannot be able to. I felt this very important today to get this off my chest, if I can use that terminology. Believe what is written.
Amen.
Accept what the words, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, every debar Elohim live by. Debar means word, by the way, in Hebrew. Debarim means words in Hebrew. This is a plurality of the term. For those who do not know. All right, now. Where am I going to go from here? I think you got my overall point, right? Okay, but I want to go to Habakkuk. And remember, I spoke some time ago, I don't know how long ago, about the virgins.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Listen carefully. See, that parable came out of the mouth of Elohim. And it should, by looking at it, reading it, become clear to us. Why did the apostles ask, why do you speak in parables? Because given for you to know, to see, it's revealed to you, but not to them. So if you begin to understand the word of Elohim, begin to understand the words of Yahshua, you begin to understand those things, not the flesh stuff, the words.
Yes.
What is the word? What? How, Yahshua was called what? The word of God, right? He's a Dabar of Elohim. Mm-hmm. Wow. What does that cover? Covers the prophets, covers the law, covers. How else can it not cover? There's not a single thing within the Tanakh when the Elohim speaks that we ought not listen. We should always listen and not ignore. Do we have to understand it? The answer is, yeah. How do you understand it? The beginning of knowledge is fear. How can you fear Yahweh, Elohim, unless you heard Him? Then fear will strike you. And then you'll live by every word that proceeds out of Elohim. And not on the flesh. All right. Habakkuk, verse chapter 2. Chapter 2. Habakkuk. Didn't I say Habakkuk?
Yeah.
Habakkuk. Yeah, I pronounced it in Hebrew. You'll probably be all messed up. All right. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. The prophet saying, he said, what will Elohim say to me or Yahuwah? And guess what? What I will answer when I am corrected. Here's a prophet. He's standing there waiting. He doesn't run away. He's going to take it on the chin, in the gut, however you want to use it, in the mouth. He's going to take it. Why? Now listen. Right. Then Yahu answered me and said, write this vision. Well, I'm going to show you, what I'm going to reveal to you. We use the word revelation, right? The verse, verse 3 in chapter 2. No, verse 2, chapter 2. Write a vision and make it, what?
Plain.
Make it clear. Don't hide anything, Habakkuk. Do it. Make it clear. Now, when you read the book of Habakkuk, do you think it's clear? Do you understand it? Well, this is where you have to come into Yahuwah, and you have to say, this is what you have shown me now. I'm hearing your word. Reveal unto me. We'll get back to Abraham in a minute, because Abraham asked the same question. Did you know that? He says, huh? And he had to show him. Yes.
Where are we at?
The book of Habakkuk. It's an old prophet. Habakkuk.
Chapter
2, and now we're verse 3.
Towards the end of the New Testament.
Yeah.
Right before Zephaniah.
Verse 3. Yeah. For the vision, which he's supposed to make plain and clear, what do you see, Habakkuk? I see this. He said, now I want you to write it down, and I want you to make it plain. Don't hide anything. Don't confuse anything. Just write what you see and make it plain. Make it clear. Make it that it can be understood. Mm. Now listen. The vision is yet for a, here's this word. Remember Jeff went through this word before? The appointed time. Oh, Habakkuk, do you see this? Yes. What do you see? I go right down this. I understand. I see it clearly. Put it very plain upon the words. Put it very, very plain down now so they understand it when someone hears or reads my word through you. What do you say? But at the end, it will speak. Mm-hmm. You realize it's not just at the end, it will, you know, appear like some kind of trance. No, it's going to be very plain at the end, and it will not, what?
Lie.
Okay, so now this is what Habakkuk said. This is what God said to put him down on. So he wrote down, he wrote word for word. Though it
tarries.
Remember, at the end, though it tarries. Remember the virgins? What was their problem? They, because he tarried his coming. Tarried. All right. And he says, because it shall surely come, and it will not tarry. It's going to come on its what? Appointed time. All right. So now we look at a vision. When someone comes up and says, I've had a vision from the Lord, they better know what to talk about. I will never hear them.
Now, how would you distinguish vision from a dream? Because
we're talking about vision right now.
Right.
Dream of the other world. The dream will come when we get into his grandson.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not going to get there. Can't travel that far at this point in time. I'm trying to get this one down and first one down in, you know, my allotted time. That's a good question. You will have an answer. All right. So we can see from the verses, there's a lot of them, by the way. Just take it out, go in and hit version, vision on your computer that you guys got. And you say, how many places is you? There they are. And they go back and look at them, research them, study them, see what it says. Because it's going to reveal something to you. It's going to show you something to you. What's it going to show you? The word of
Elohim.
Devarim. The Devar Elohim. That's going to hear, and you're going to see it. You cannot think, oh, I know what the Lord's all about. Oh, really? According to the word of the Lord, you have to hear it. Right? Mm-hmm. You can't assume it. You have to hear it. And what did it say in the churches? He who has a
ear,
let him hear. Now, when you look at the churches, there were some terrifying corrections, if you were up there, about those things. Oh, they had to hear. And what did they do? They have to act quickly and fast. Otherwise, it's all over with for them. Yes?
Well, his other analogy is sheep, when he's talking to the Pharisees. My sheep know my voice.
Yeah, they know the body, yes.
That reminds me, I don't know if it fits, James talks about be not just a hearer, but be a doer too, because if you do that, then you deceive yourselves and the truth is not in you.
A hearer of the Devarim and doesn't do is like what Yahshua said. Your world is on sand and it's going to be gone. Mm-hmm. It's not going to stand. All right. Now, even the words of Yeshua says, what? You live by every... if anybody hears... what's this? You are like a man who built his house upon a what? So you are involved with the vision. You are participating and becoming part of and involved with what you see because you heard something. I have not seen anybody in this room build a house on sand physically. I've not seen anybody in this house build a house on rock because those are physical things. Spiritual things, now that's a different issue. Yes.
Okay, in verse 3, it says...
verse 3 of what?
Habakkuk.
Okay.
So the vision is yet from a point of time. And the word there is Moedim.
Yes, that's what I said.
Okay, does that mean...
Don't associate with the holy days.
Okay, that's...
Don't associate with the holy days, please. That's a entirely different story. Don't lock in that Moedim to only the holy days. In the very book of Genesis, the very first chapter, what does it say? The sun, the moon, and the stars are Moedim. The sun marks a certain point in time. The moon marks a certain point in time. And the stars mark a certain point in time. They are not necessarily saying the same thing. What did God say to Abraham? Look up. See them stars? They're talking to you in a sense. They're telling you something. Now, wait a minute. Is that part of the Moedim? Of course it is. You think it's not? But the word of the Lord says, way in Genesis, very first chapter, that yes, the sun, what's it supposed to do? It's a Moedim marking what? Years. Mm-hmm. All right. The month. Moon. What's it marked for? The nights. Oh, you didn't think about that, did you? That's what's said, right? Oh, my. So the moon is just not for the month. It's also a Moedim for night, when night begins. And when do you see the stars? When the moon is not appointed to show. You see them more than any other time. Isn't that right? So I had a funny feeling when Elohim, Yahuwah, took Abraham out and says, look up! It probably was a before the new moon. In order for him to see all of them stars. How many are there? Oh, wait. 12. The constellation is made up of 12 clusters of stars. Those 12 represent the cluster of the sons of Abraham. And they have what? Israel came out and had how many kids?
12 tribes.
And so when he began to see these things, come out, I will show you. And what do you think Abraham said? Yeah, okay. Oh, I see a bunch of stars. You think what he said? Oh, no. He believed that. He believed God. How did he believe him? He heard the words. All right. This is very, very important, people. I got overwhelmingly important to really pay attention to the Devarim Elohim. It's very, very important. And when we think that God has spoken to us, God spoke to me. Oh my. If he did, then therefore he has given you a vision that makes you clearly see what he is saying, not what you are saying or what you see. It's not a matter what you see. It's a matter what he is showing you what he is doing.
Amen.
Yes.
Just a question. When Yahweh showed Abraham the stars, right? That would that have contained... I'm just thinking of the quote that Yeshua made where he said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. Do you think that when he saw and he understood the teaching of the constellation...
It was revealed to him because the picture showed him and he saw it.
He saw
okay.
My day and was
right.
Glad.
Yeah. I remember, how many years after flood is this? 374 years, 375 years, approximately, since the flood. All right, keep that part in mind. It's not like thousands and thousands and thousands and quadrillions and billions of years. It's just only 365 or 375. There were not very many people to face the earth. They were not. Very few. He says, you're going to be number. You're big as that. Now, any more questions? Yes.
Well, I was just thinking about it. I think that the thing I've seen mainly as far as where vision gets misused today is from a misunderstanding of the Godhead. The Word of God speaking is different than the Ruach HaKodesh of God speaking. There's
different... No.
No.
What is the temple and what is the Lord?
What is that?
Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is spirit. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahshua is spirit. It is the spirit that is brings forth life. Apostle Paul says very clear in the book of Romans.
Okay.
Look, I don't mean to be upset with you, but understand, spirit is life.
Yes.
Spirit is what shows you. Now, next week, no, I won't be able to do it. I don't know. Well, I know. I've got to cover another study matter. I was going to do it next week. Won't be able to do it because I got to finish this one. Are you upset with me?
No.
The whole night?
No.
But I do want you to do some thinking.
Yes.
Because, see, what the whole scenario we have, I can't finish it today. The whole scenario we see that Abraham participated in the vision. So he spoke to Abraham from the vision. Oh, what did Abraham do and what did it tell him? God spoke to him for him to see and to understand. And that's exactly what Abraham did. This is the reason why, in my personal opinion. By the way, for those who don't know, and for those who do know, what does Abram mean?
Exalted
the exalted father. He wasn't born with that name. He came to be that name because God says, I'm going to exalt you. He wasn't exalted until God exalted him. He said, I'm going to exalt you. He did. To be a father. And then exalted him later, even be greater than that, right? To become Abraham. The exalted father of many. Different issue. We're not there yet. All right. Sorry, I got a little... But you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I hear someone, I'm very kind to you, by the way, unless I'm up here. If you come to me and you say, God showed me, I'm going to say, okay, now listen to what you have to say. Okay? If God showed me in the Word, then I'd say, oh, good. What did he say? But if you say, God showed me that I need to go from San Francisco to New York. Oh, yeah? Where's that at? It's not there. Because he didn't say that. God's not going to mess around with mundane things. He's going to mess around with, your spirit. He's going to mess around with your soul. He's going to mess around with your life because that's what he wants. And if we want him, because it says there in the book of Luke, and Jesus said this, if you know the will of my Father, then you will know the doctrine that I am saying is true.
Yes.
Yeah. My doctrine is Devarim Elohim.
Amen.
I speak nothing unless the Devarim Elohim tells me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's a very powerful word. So when we think that, Yahshua is the Torah, I'll talk about that sometime. Stop for a moment. I'm not going to go there today. But, all these labels have been added on to him. He's got one giant label. And it is Devarim Elohim. Now, that's a big world. That includes the Torah. It includes the prophets. It includes the writings. It includes the apostles. Because there's something that he said. You are no longer, what? My servants. You are now my
friends.
I'm letting you in on it. When an awful lot of people claim to be an apostle, I'm sorry. That did not come from Devarim Elohim. That came from their own heart, their own desires, their own lust and their pride of life, wanting to be somebody that they're not. There's no humility in them. They may come across as though they are, but listen to the words of Deba Elohim. He says they're lying. And I want you to make sure you understand. It's really easy to see a liar. If they speak not according to this testimony or the law, truth is not in them.
Amen.
Keep that. That's in Isaiah. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go there and read it. Yes.
Sorry. I was just thinking about when, was it Paul and I don't know if it was Paul and anyway, they had gone, it said that the Holy Spirit had restrained them
going
from going
Bithynia?
Into a certain region.
Right.
So what?
They heard.
Okay, they heard. Because I was always wondering, how did he stop them from going?
Persecution?
They heard. I mean, if you listen, you pay attention. But now, why did it start out that way in the book of Acts? To make an impact upon these people heard the word. And Jeff's going through that word. He's using the word quite often. Go to the book of Acts. He's not talking about the word. He's talking about the Devarim Elohim. The whole thing.
But he does. So he does lead us. He can.
Oh, yes. Don't get me confused. I'm saying the leading is something different than someone come along and saying, oh, the Lord's spoken to me. Well, no, he didn't. Mm-hmm. Unless you said, he said this in the word of God, and I believe him. Oh, then he spoke to you.
Okay.
He made it very clear and plain to you. When God speaks, he does not speak to confuse you.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks to deliver you out of confusion, chaos, lies.
What was it Yeshua said about witnesses in the word?
I'm sorry, what? What was
in the mouth
of
two or three witnesses?
No, that's in the Torah. I agree with that.
What was it Yeshua saying about he being a witness for, and also?
All right, okay. There it is. I can't remember right offhand. I read it. I mean, okay. Jesus was challenged with his authority and his witnesses. And he says, I do not need a second witness. I am the witness.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Wow. Now, stop and think for just a moment. I'm going to run out of time here. The Day of Atonement. How many witnesses are there that saw the high priest go into the Holy of Holies and do his function? Not a one.
Right.
Not a one saw him. They weren't even allowed in the outer tabernacle. They were not allowed to be anywhere near. Yes.
The only witness that you have is that you saw him again.
Yeah, he lived.
Yeah,
no. He lived, right. The same situation with Yahshua. Whatever. He walked through, says it spiritually, walked into the Holy of Holies, and he came back out again.
Yeah,
but a different.
His witness was his resurrection.
Right, his witness was his resurrection. He says that in with the woman of the well. Right? The woman that was caught in adultery on the eighth day. All right, I've got to call it quiz.
Okay, it seems to me the vision is a matter of witness.
It is.
Rather than, you know, that's.
I'm showing you this. So when we go through, we won't finish this day at all. When we go through the 15th chapter of Genesis, you're going to see a testimony, if you want to use that word. Nice little Christian word, right? You're going to see a testimony. You're going to see something that's telling you. This Abraham or Avram, I am showing you, and I'm going to do it in this manner. And I want you to see, visualize it, see it with your own naked eyes, Abram, and watch what's going to happen. Abram, come out. Look at the stars. Abram, when we go through, not today, go through these three animals and the birds, he's going to show him something. He saw it, and horror overtook him. And he was in Hoshek. Darkness. Oh, weird. It's a weird chapter, right? So I want you to know that when we first look at this word, then you got to do your own research in this thing about the word vision, and just look at it. Find that every prophet talked about the vision. He heard the vision of the Lord. The vision of the Lord came to me, and I heard. Everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God is going to reveal something to us. Show us something. Help us to understand, not to hide or conceal. He has an appointed time. And we have to accept those appointed times. What those times are, don't assume. Don't, please, do not assume. You've got it all figured out, centered around the holidays. There are times involved with the 50-year cycle. Times are involved with the 70-year cycle. Those are years, by the way. Have nothing to do with moon. Has nothing to do with the stars, but it has to do with the sun that counts years. All right? And you know, heard this phrase. It won't go into today. 3 days and three nights? Did it say three moons and three nights? 3 days, three nights. It's a count. That's the effect of two things. The sun and the moon. They're both doing a moedim. All right? But don't limit yourself thinking you got it all figured out because you keep the holidays. We want to get to see what God wants us to see. As we keep searching, going in deeper and deeper, we need to ask God, not me, not you, not one another, need to come before Elohim and say, Daniel said, I don't understand this. And he fasted for 21 days. You know, I tried to get there, couldn't get there in time, you know, but he finally explained to Daniel what it was all about, right? So you and I, when we don't understand something in the Scripture, you're only going to hear what it, you're only going to visualize, should I say, it's only going to make clear to you, and now as you see it, when you yourself hear the word of the Lord. That means you got to go to it. And what he does not do, he does not bend his ear down, unless there's a broken and contrite spirit in you. If you've got pride, thinking you're going to be able to know the truth and preach the gospel to all the world in your wonderful voice, you will never hear the word of the Lord. You must be humble. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know this is pretty strong today, but I want to clear this matter up. Some of you, I don't know where you came from. I don't know your background. I don't know what you think. But as I began to research this thing, I said, do I keep quiet? Do I keep quiet?
No.
I can't.
Mm-hmm.
If I stepped on toes, hope it was lightly.